This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
The family of the late Torisho Temane is expressing what they call continued pain and profound disappointment. This is regarding the sentencing handed down on the 29th of June 2022 by the Limpopo High Court in Polokwane. The family says on that day, Khutatso Tefo and Raufa Mahlorumela, Vincent Mutomela, and Tsiamo Mieni Lisicha Kabelo Ramkhupa were each sentenced to 10 years in prison. According to the court's ruling, Khutatso Tefo is to serve 3 years of his sentence in a juvenile center. Mieni and Mutomela will each serve 2 years and Ramkhupa 1 year before being transferred to a standard correctional facility. The family says they have now been informed that Tefo has applied for parole after serving only 3 years in juvenile detention. We're speaking to Karabo Temane, who is the brother of the late Torisho, and just get us their sense around the matter and reacting to these developments that we're talking about. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and to the listeners. Thank you for having me.
Good evening. Thank you very much for your time. Well, just to go back on that intro that I made, and so we get our facts right there in the beginning. So in our intro, we're talking about the sentences that, of course, the conviction, the sentence. But as a family, I understand you saying you continue to be in pain, but you're in profound disappointment. Talk to us about that.
Yes, well, we lost a brother. My parents lost a son. And that pain, obviously, no matter what, there's nothing that can replace that pain. So we continue to suffer no matter what verdict was issued or what sentence was given. But what really frustrates us the most is the manner in which the murder was conducted. It was gruesome, and the offenders were chanting on the video saying, "We are committing murder." So now for these culprits or these offenders to only receive a sentence of 10 years with the possibility of parole, that to us was painful, and it really made us doubt the justice system. So we went home after receiving partial justice, basically. So it's disappointing now to also hear that this offender is now applying for parole. So it makes us wonder, what do they think about the consequences of taking a human life? So that's where we are at.
So your sense was, at the time the sentences were handed out, that you had received partial justice?
Yes. Yeah, because 10 years with the possibility of parole, in my head, it felt like they were giving them 5 years, because with the possibility of parole, every convict is entitled to appeal for parole after serving half of their sentence. So you can imagine, to us, we felt like the human life was taken. Mm. And any person watching would say, okay, the cost of a human life is 5 years in prison, where you get a chance to further your studies and to continue being fed by the government. So we felt like the justice was not, or the punishment was not enough for the gruesome nature of the murder.
Mm. Okay. And now you are hearing of the news of possible parole. Talk to us about what you know about this.
Okay, so what I know is the application was made prior to the current date. The current date would be on the 15th of August. So what happened prior to that was the case was postponed. And it was postponed because the state was opposing the parole, where the correctional services were pleading the case that Michael Tefo is being rehabilitated. So one thing that boggles my mind is we were unaware of this first application. It was going quietly until there was a request for a social worker to conduct a victim impact assessment and submit the report. Mm. So had the judge or the prosecution not requested the victim impact assessment report, Michael Tefo would have maybe been released or would have maybe continued serving a sentence. So what bothered us is that we were in the dark, everyone was in the dark, until the social worker contacted us. So hearing about that, hearing about that was like putting salt in our wounds, because we were just about to get healed, and then all of a sudden we get the slap in the face.
The victim assessment report is generally part of the parole process.
Correct.
Okay, so that generally happens, and how does it happen? How was the family engaged in as far as that is concerned?
Okay, so the family was notified that there was an application, and the prosecution opposed that application and said, let us get a victim impact assessment report.
Mm.
So then we were contacted by the prosecutor, Advocate Mudao, and we were also contacted by the social worker, Radilani.
Mm.
So what happened was the social worker contacted us for interviews just to get a feel of the social, economic, and emotional impact that my brother's death caused on the family, you know. So that's basically the process. But I think what we would like is for a strict justice system that would consider the victims, not only the perpetrators or the offenders, as being rehabilitated, but also to consider the impact or the pain that the families who have lost a loved one are feeling.
Mm.
And to also consider that a human life was taken, and that in itself should show how much the justice system values the life of an ordinary South African child.
And, you know, as you say, that there's been this this impact assessment that has happened. After it, what is expected to follow?
Okay, on the 15th of August, at the High Court, the application for parole will continue or commence or resume. It will resume on the 15th of August. So in that sitting, the social worker will present a report. Maybe the report will be read by the prosecutor, or maybe the social worker will present the report herself. I'm not quite sure.
Mm.
But that report will be read to the judge or the presiding judge, and assist the presiding judge in making a decision as to whether Michael Tefu can be released after only serving 3 of his 10 years in prison. So that's what we're looking at.
Mm.
And yeah, so we just wanted first to start with public awareness, and then we're still looking for a call to action, whether it's a peaceful protest or a petition that we would like the community to assist with, so that we can have it signed and delivered to the presiding judge or prosecution, so that they can see that the community would not be satisfied, and the family is definitely not satisfied with a murderer only serving 3 years in prison.
Yeah, and you know, when you said at the ending over of the sentence you felt partial justice, was there ever a consideration to perhaps appeal the sentence?
Yes, there was a consideration, but reality soon hit home. So what do I mean by reality? I mean that once a person is deceased, they belong to the state.
Mm.
So the state prosecutes and sentences as they see fit. So basically, the family is more of a bystander.
Mm.
And at that time, like I said, we were already fatigued.
Mm.
We were tired because we were chasing this case since 2019. And we were frustrated with all the postponements and all the tactics, you know.
Mm.
So we were like, you know what, 10 years in prison, we'll accept it, but we are not happy because 10 years in prison with the possibility of parole equals to 5 years.
Mm.
So, so we're never satisfied, I can honestly say that. But
yeah,
we're coming to peace with it, you know, to say, you know what, at least maybe they'll learn a lesson and maybe, just to see the impact that they caused, especially because other children in the community are watching.
Yes. Yeah. What was the conversation at that time that you were having with prosecutors?
After the sentence or leading to the sentence?
After the sentence.
Okay. After the sentence, we did indicate that we were not happy with the sentence, but the prosecution did state that the judge has the final say, you know?
Mm.
And they mentioned that and honestly speaking, the prosecution did issue a very, I mean, they did bring the fight, you know?
Mm.
They were serious about this matter. for this case. But at the end of the day, the judge is the one who decides on the magnitude of the punishment. So the only conversation we had with the prosecution was more of a debriefing and a call a reality check type of conversation. Yeah.
So we spoke about Defo, who is the one making an application for parole. What is happening with the others?
I'm not quite sure what's happening with the others at the moment. The reason we focused on Michael Defo is because the communication we got was only regarding to Michael Defo. And before we could consider the other one, we soon remember that Michael Defo is the one who was caught on video saying his father is a police officer, nothing can happen to him. So basically saying, I can kill, I can fight, I can stab whoever I want. My dad is a police officer, nothing can happen to me. So when we saw that his application is the one they're communicating about, so we actually started opposing it without considering the other one. Obviously,
yeah,
we would have that information.
Yes. Okay. And I hear you. Just also, as the family, and I wonder after the sentencing or during the trial, whether you were getting support, whether counseling as a family, what was happening, what kind of support you got?
I can honestly tell you it's a lonely road to freedom. But I would say, fortunately for us, we did not tread the path alone, you know. So the strongest support we got was from our community and from the nation worldwide, as they showed interest and invested emotionally. And as a family, we were offered sessions with, I would call them psychologists and social workers. To help us come to terms with the loss. So, but at the end of the day, the advice did help, but the most important thing is that time heals. The church community praying with us, you know, visiting us, that's what really helped us to cope. But unfortunately, in the case of my mother, we buried her this time last year, around July last year. And she had suffered a stroke. And then when the doctor saw her scan or her CAT scans, they asked if this was the second stroke. And we were not aware of the second stroke. So chances are it was the trauma from that incident, because I saw the state in which she was. So, guys, it's not a beautiful sight to see a mother crying for their son, especially when their life was taken away brutally. We got a lot of support, but I can honestly tell you, time and prayer and support from the community does help. But at the end of the day, when you go to sleep, reality hits.
And condolences with the loss of your mother there. And
thank you.
Now, for the family, so I've already gathered from our conversation that you're opposing the parole. And you're going to get, you're hoping to get the community around that, and so to send the message clearly. Just talk to us about that as well, in terms of ideally where we are. What is it that you are saying that you would like to see happening?
Okay, so let's start with the objective. The objective is that we would like the justice system, that is the High Court, and also the correctional services, to show the community how much they value a human life, number one. Number two, we would like for them to show how they are strong and against violence. No matter what, a person must face the consequences. So the way we plan on doing that is by making the voice of the family and the voice of the community loud. So it's either we're going to engage in a peaceful protest, or we are going to distribute a petition. We'll start circulating it on Wednesday online. And then with that petition, we hope to deliver it to the prosecution so that the prosecution can share the community's input. with the High Court and the Correctional Services. Mm-hmm. So right now what we'd like to see is a South Africa that is strongly against gangsterism and strongly against murder.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Good evening to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That is the brother of the late Torisho Temane, Skarabo Temane, there, speaking to us about that. And we had reached out to the correctional services. We were not successful with getting somebody to speak to us and get more information around what is happening with the parole application and the related matters. But that's the conversation in as far as the family is concerned.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.